Welcome to Generation Radio Podcast, where the focus is on Arkapuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our Generations team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, your host. As you guys know, every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on 101.1, the best oldies channel, by the way. And guys, I'm telling you, almost every day somebody comes up to me and goes, hey, I listen to the radio show. In fact, I was telling you last night, my wife's I was cocktail with a girlfriend from the hotel business. Was, oh, my girlfriend's husband listens to your show every Sunday morning. And he, but he's only like, I think he's like early to mid-60s. I say, wow. And I believe he's taking care of his parents. Well, she is. But it's very common, guys. Our demographic, we did a survey, 6 years ago now, maybe 5 years ago. And I'm pretty involved in aging in Hawaii. And I knew our demographic was 73 plus, 72 plus. We did a survey. It's under 70. I think it's 68. So because we're dealing with our parents, as you guys know, I've been dealing with my parents. Unfortunately, they both passed away in the last year. But guys, we're a great resource. We're one of the few, if not the only entity in the country, by the way, Roseanne, you will know Roseanne soon, that we do radio, we do a printed magazine, we do a digital magazine, we have a Facebook page, and we do workshops, let alone our events 3 times a year. So
that's great.
We are a great resource. And one of the best resources, you have seen her face. Now you hear her voice, because I know you'll see her face. Roseanne Freitas from the Better Business Bureau. Welcome to the show, Roseanne. And you don't have to dress up here.
I know. Thanks, Percy. This is kind of nice because you guys on the radio can't see. I don't have my hair down. I don't have to worry. I have makeup on, but I don't have to worry about that. So this is really relaxed versus the TV.
It really is. It really is. And our listeners want it relaxed.
Yeah.
We want it honest. We want it simplified. And we want genuine. We want sincere. And most importantly, we want great information. And so I've watched you for years. When we first started in 2010, we had one of your guys from Better Business Bureau write for the magazine for several years. And of course, Scott Spallina, the prosecuting attorney from the Honolulu Prosecutor's Office, writes for the magazine. But you know, I've seen you around, and I happened to see you last week. Like, God, I've been meaning to talk to you, but my schedule is very busy. And so thank you for coming on such a short notice. Tell our guys, our listeners out there, really what the Better Business Bureau is, because some of them may not have a correct comprehension what you guys are, right?
So what's kind of nice is your demographic actually usually knows who the Better Business Bureau is. It's usually that younger demographic, but sometimes people just don't know who we are or really what we do. They think we're the complaints people, and they think we're the scam people. And both of those do fall under the umbrella of what we do. But just a real quick synopsis of how it started. So I don't think a lot of people even know that. It actually started in 1912. And no, Percy, I wasn't working there in 1912.
Really?
Yeah. So it started actually with Coca-Cola. And it was back in the day of the magic elixir where they said anything and they promised you everything. Sometimes I feel like we're back in that day almost.
Oh, sometimes, yes.
But 1906 was the Food and Pure Drug Act. And so Coca-Cola was involved in a lawsuit. And what the lawsuit was, I couldn't tell you. But what I can tell you is a conversation between the Coca-Cola executive and his attorney. And in the conversation, the attorney says, why, nobody believes advertising. It's all false. And he went, wow, something's wrong. And so he went back, called executives from other companies, and they all got together and they started policing each other's advertising. And that's actually how Better Business Bureau started, was the business sector policing each other to make sure they were being honest in their ads. So
great story.
It's a great story. We still do ads. That's still part of what we do, but we're more than that. Now it's not just the ads. It's do they have appropriate licensing? Are they doing things ethically? So we're here to find those businesses that we can say, yeah, they meet these standards and living to a higher level. But then we have to help consumers find them. And I think we can all admit that since technology has come in and the internet has come in, things have changed. And so, unfortunately, we're seeing a real increase in fraud that is done online because it's so much easier to get to people these days.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about scam later on, guys. Mm-hmm. But so how does our listeners, readers, 60-plus, 55-plus utilize Better Business Bureau?
So there's a number of different ways. So we're here for all demographics to reach us. For some people, they don't want to talk to a person on the phone anymore. And so they're just online. So they can go to bbb.org. You can look anything up on our website. You can look up the name of a company. You can look up people in an industry and what city so that you can narrow down your search. But for those who just don't want to be on the computer any more than they have to be, they can actually call into our office and ask a question. So we do have, we are an 8-state district. So we were talking about that slightly with Percy. Right. So what's nice with our 8 states is we have so much resource. But the people who answer the phone, the majority of them are based here in Hawaii.
Really?
Yes. And I think it probably, I don't know why, but my guess is people from Hawaii, there's just something about the customer service is there, and they're really good on the phones. And obviously people sometimes are very upset when they call us because bad things have happened. But if they talk to our customer service team members here in Hawaii, it changes their whole day. Because then they're like, I remember going to Hawaii. So if you call, you may get someone from another state, and they're all well-versed in our district. But majority of the time, you're going to get somebody here in Hawaii.
Is that 800 number?
It is. We do have a local number. And so I don't have it memorized just because that's the bad thing anymore, isn't it?
You don't need to have it memorized.
We don't memorize it anymore. So while we're here talking about
this. I don't know my son's
phone
number. I just look it up on my phone.
That's it. I think I have just barely. I used to know everybody's phone number. Now I know nobody's. But we do have a local 808 phone number. So as I pull that up, what you got to say there, Percy?
Well, basically, so the people that answer the phones at a Better Business Bureau on the West Coast, are they volunteers or are they actually employees?
They're employees. Okay. So, and they are trained to know who to direct people to, because we get calls for things that aren't in our wheelhouse, but we know where to send people to. And that's really important when you call and say, hey, this has happened. And we're not just going to tell you to complain to us. If there is a reason, like if there was something with a licensed contractor here and you were having an issue, they would direct you to DCCA RICO. Okay. So we can give you all of their contact information. And we work with the state and federal governments just to help. But the one thing a lot of people don't realize, we're not a state or federal entity. Because we have Bureau in our name, everybody assumes that we are. Mm-hmm. But we're actually a nonprofit organization. So
a nonprofit. Okay, good.
So our phone number is 808-536-6956. So let me say that again. 808-536-6956. You can also email, if you prefer email, info@thebbb.org.
Info@thebbb.org.
Oh,
really?
So if you just do BBB, it won't get to us. So it has to be info@thebbbb.
Would it come to, is there BBB, is that for Hawaii in general or the West Coast?
That's our 8-state district. Okay. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. And so is this, when they can call in, is it 24/7 or is it just Hawaii time 8 to 5?
Yeah, our phone hours shut off, I believe, at 4 p.m. here. So they are open at 9 to 4. But if you do go online and if you're comfortable online, you can go to our chat feature. We also have a live chat feature. And after hours, it is manned by a bot. And you will know it's a bot because it will tell you it's a bot. AI has its place, but you need to know when you're dealing with a company, whether it's a real person or AI. We will tell you that that bot is there because some people just have a general question that bot can answer.
Yeah, you can tell it's a bot. I was actually, I do that quite a bit for different things that I do. And especially like my car insurance, my homeowner insurance, you know, things like that. But this thing is, you're so accessible. And you're so out there, and I'm glad we're going to have you here back more often. And in the magazine, Roseanne Freitas from the Better Business Bureau will be writing for the magazine as well. So are you an actress too? But you're so animated, you're so charismatic, you're such a great communicator. I think that's why people recognize you.
I think it is, but the funny thing is, you know, Percy, my background is accounting. I went to college to be an accountant because I was really shy. I'm very much of an introvert. So don't ask me what happened. I have no idea. But I also teach jazzercise, and I do have to say, I think that's where it changed. I wanted to stop being shy. And so I thought, if I do this, this will help. And it did. I think just as we age, we get more confident, right? And pushing ourselves. So I've not done acting since like elementary school, I think was the last time I did that. But I love what I do. And I think that's the big difference. I love the mission of the BBB. I love working for a nonprofit. I love helping our community. And the more I learn about how people need to shop smartly, but also how to avoid the fraud side, the more I realize it's so important that we share that knowledge. So what you see is really my passion for this is it makes a difference when someone comes up to you and says, oh, thank you so much. You really helped me out. That's so rewarding. And I think that's what I find. And I love what I get to do.
Well, and we were at the Windward Mall. We had a mini senior fair last week, Friday at Windward Mall, and so many people knew you.
I know. I was so surprised. I get recognized in public, but Friday, it was really a lot more. And it was such a packed house. You guys had a great turnout for that event. And you could tell by the seniors coming through that they really appreciated having all of those resources in one space, because it's hard to be able to have that conversation with everybody when they're not together. So great job.
Well, thank you. And thanks to Cynthia Arnold, who helped produce that for us. And don't forget, you make it in your calendar. August 12th is our 15th annual Aging in Place workshop. Unfortunately, it's too late to have you be as presenter, but we have six rooms going
maybe
on at one time.
Year.
Maybe next year. we have six rooms going on at the same time with a speaker every hour switches out. Thanks to ARP, by the way. They're one of our title sponsors. They'll be in a big room. They're bringing a national speaker to talk about brain health. And we'll probably bring her back on the radio show to talk about that the week she's here. A national speaker. I can't remember her name right off the top of my head. But so when people think of the Better Business Bureau, besides they know you and your face, can they make complaints there? But you're not the police, you're not the state. So how do you handle a complaint? Let's say, I think you mentioned, what was the top? Wasn't contractor, was auto salespeople, solar salespeople?
Actually, our top like 10 complaints are usually in travel industries, property management, car dealers, used cars, those type of industries. But surprisingly, a lot of people assume it's construction, and it's not.
Not anymore, honestly.
No.
It was for a while.
Now, for inquiries, construction is the top industry. So people come to us before they shop.
And what are they doing? They're kind of checking the guy
They're
out,
checking
the complaints?
Them out. So what we are, because you mentioned it, we're not law enforcement.
Right.
But we're reputation. And so we put out information that can hurt a business. So we're not out here to hurt businesses, but we do expect a certain standard. And so when it comes to the complaint process, we're not here to just have a place for people to complain. We want resolution. And that's what the complaint process has always been about. So we receive the complaint from the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
We send it to the business. And we also give that business an opportunity to, they have, I believe it's 10 days to respond. So we give them that opportunity for their
great.
Response. And all we're acting is a middleman. So people sometimes think we take one side or the other. We can't. We are an independent third party. We're just facilitating the dialogue. And a lot of times, once you have someone whose emotions aren't in the middle of it, it does help come up with a resolution.
Yeah.
But what if that we get to the end of it and they still can't come to an agreement? We actually have options. So we do offer arbitration and mediation. And so for our accredited businesses, that's actually a free service. Because we know they're living a certain standard. So we're able to offer that. And because the last thing any consumer or business wants is litigation, right?
Sure.
It's so costly, and I don't think anybody really wins in that situation. So majority of it's going to be fixed in what we call that initial complaint process. It's what we call conciliation. So you can go, but we do have to have it in writing. And that makes sense. We verify
sure.
this. We verify you're a real person. And we send it to the business because every now and then you'll get someone to complain about a business who actually wasn't a customer of theirs. So you can't complain about a business that you haven't had a transaction with. Yeah, that's what's required.
Is there any length, like maybe it was like a month ago, a year ago? Can you make a complaint?
Usually they want it within a year. I recommend to everybody do it as soon as they can, sure, just to get that going. But understand it. Usually they can get it resolved within 30 days, but sometimes it may take longer. But a lot of businesses don't want their reputation messed up. So if you're a business listening to, if you don't respond, that's where you start to get the F grade. Because that's one of our 8 standards is being responsive.
Yeah.
And so you need to hear your customer. And it doesn't mean you have to give in, right? We're here to help you guys come up with a resolution. So that's what we're there for, is more reputation and helping consumers navigate that system.
Well, I understand the transportation, Department of Transportation is going to get after the airlines where they're going to have to requiring them to be really good at refunding all these airfares that have been cancellations and things like that. So I'm glad they're looking at that. But in terms of mediation, is this that you guys mediate that, or does an outside mediation?
Outside independent, yeah.
Mediation Pacific, things like that?
Yeah, we work with the Pacific Mediation Center and others in the other states as well. Mm. So, yeah, we work with those organizations, but we don't do the mediation ourselves.
Mm. You know, I know the guys at the prosecutor's office, Scott Spolina, the attorney, and their numbers have really grown in terms of scams and complaints like 10 times. And I've known him probably for, 14, 15 years now, I've known him. Have you guys' complaints gone up?
Yes.
And can I ask, just besides that, do you have an idea of how many calls you get, just by any chance?
No, I don't. But I can find that out and let you know later, because I don't know. And being a former accountant, I don't estimate anything unless that you, because you'll hold me to it. But I can tell you, yes, we have seen an increase. We saw an increase, obviously, during the pandemic.
But businesses were closed for the most part, weren't they?
Well, we were receiving more scam reports because everybody was shopping online.
Oh, yeah. Including
but now, me. From a complaint standpoint, think about it, too. A lot of businesses shut down, and we know it impacted the airlines. We know it impacted everybody. And it took them time to respond. And understandably so. You don't expect all your flights to get canceled overnight. Nobody expected that. So it did take them time to refund. And so we did get those complaints. But during that time, we were trying to be a little more sensitive to everything as well, just because it was so unprecedented. And we're trying to help businesses stay afloat and give them the information they needed.
Yeah.
And so we were doing a lot of seminars to help our businesses, as well as just helping the consumers navigate. And that, a lot of it was education. Mm. We saw a lot of that online purchasing fraud going on.
I do quite a bit online, and I've had some fraud situations. But you just said something, seminars? You guys do seminars?
Mm-hmm.
Locally or online?
Yeah, we do. Well, we were doing them webinars back then because we couldn't do anything in person. So, yes, we do. I personally do local seminars. I go speak. I've been asked to speak to Rotary groups, to senior citizen groups. I've also been asked to speak to businesses. So I have one coming up actually with the Chamber of Commerce and HVCB, talking about business ethics and what's the right thing to do. So, yeah, I do. And I, because that's part of what I do on my community outreach. I do the media, but it's also about talking with people one-on-one.
Yeah, I speak around quite a bit as myself, so I'll definitely refer your name. But
thank you.
We did slow down our webinars, but we're looking at bringing it back later this year or next year. Maybe we'll have you on, because people in our industry, all the businesses that we work with, all our clients, potential clients, demographic are aging. And that's probably, isn't it that the biggest demographic of people being scammed and taken advantage of?
Actually, this is where you might be a little surprised. So according to the BBB data, and remember, we're crowdsourced. That's, well, all this is crowdsourced. Right. So this is who reports it to us. What people never realized is we always did it based on the risk index.
Which is
not just the number of reports, but it was the susceptibility of exposure and the median dollar loss. So senior citizens always had the highest median dollar loss, except for this last year.
Hold on. Highest dollar loss.
That median dollar loss. So, you know, more of an average type median dollar loss than any of the other demographics until 22 for us. So what we noticed, though, you notice I said median dollar loss, not susceptibility. For us, susceptibility has always been highest in the younger demographic, that 18 to 24-year-old crowd. And the susceptibility actually kind of went down as you aged, which is interesting. Now, of course, 18 to 24-year-olds don't typically have as much money as 65-plus. Right. But in 2022, they actually had a higher median dollar loss. Now, the 65-plus crowd was second. So we know they target seniors, but I don't want people who aren't seniors to think you're not a target, because they are going after everyone. And we know that text messaging scams increased significantly last year. It was like a 39% increase. So you're seeing a lot more coming in via a text message, which, of course, is going to really impact that younger demographic, because they do everything via their phone. They're a little more trusting of the technology. As we have aged, we become a little more cautious in what we share, I think. I know, of course, I work for the BBB, and now I share nothing. But I do think with age, we have experience, which really helps. But at the same time, you know what hurts us? And it really comes down to the psychology of when we look at a fraud, is I was raised in the generation where you respected authority, you respected your elders, and you didn't question. Well, guess what? That puts me at a higher risk for fraud. And so I'm from that age group too. So those of us who were taught not to question things from authority figures have a higher risk for a scam. So we now have to switch how we think and say, okay, it's okay to question somebody who says they're with the Social Security Administration. Before, we took it at face value. And now we have to be suspicious, especially of a phone call.
Everything. In fact, I got a call, I think it was last year, maybe year before last, one of the newscasters you see on TV every day. Said, how does Social Security know my phone number? I said, what are you talking about? You're not old enough to have Social Security. Well, no, I'm sorry. They were asking about my mother's information, but they called me. They had my mobile number, cell phone number. I said, how did that happen? I don't know. How did you know it's Social Security? The call ID says Social Security, and you can change it. There's an app for that. Chris Duque, who you probably know, had mentioned that there's an app you can get to change that. And we're scared now at AI, artificial intelligence, where we saw last Sunday an article how they did it right there in the interview, cloned your voice, talked to simple, and it asked questions in the person's name.
And you hit that. It's just amazing. So one, I want to share with the readers first and foremost, have you ever tried to call the Social Security Administration yourself, Percy, or the IRS or Medicare? Because guess what? They don't answer their phone very much.
If you call Hawaii time 2 to 3 o'clock, their West Coast routing number routes to Hawaii.
Oh.
Just to let you know, as local people. But yes, it is very difficult.
It's very difficult.
Anybody on the phone. If you can't get a hold of them, let me know. I'll call for you.
But the reason I say that is they're not calling you. They're not even always able to answer all their phone calls, so they're not calling you. So it's really important we understand how these organizations work. So most of your government entities are going to send you a letter in the post office, through the postal service. They're not going to text you. They're not going to call you, not initially, out of the blue. Also, they don't just take all of your benefits away. So, but what they're doing there is they're appealing to our fear. And then we just react emotionally and not with our brain, not rationally. So it's really important to understand how Social Security, how a lot of these organizations actually communicate with us.
The government.
And so that is going to help us when we get those calls. But the other thing, and especially with we were talking about the grandparent scam, is how do they learn all this information? How do they know your grandchildren's name? Social media.
Oh, yeah.
So we have so much
information.
I tell
all my senior clients, you can go on social media, but don't put in your birthday. You know, I see so many people, oh, thanks for your birthday wishes like that. Don't put in your kids' names, your address. I mean, they can find your address, but it's so important. So on that note, Roseanne, we're going to take a short break. And guys, we're here with Roseanne Freitas from the Better Business Bureau. Got a great information in the second half of the show. We'll be about specific scams, what it is. I don't know if you can say how to avoid it. I guess you can to a certain extent.
Yes.
But how to solve that?
It's more the avoidance.
Yeah.
We are going, and then we do have options. What happens if this has happened to you? There are a lot of resources.
I've had a couple cases myself. But anyway, guys, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Call Financial Benefits Insurance's local Hawaii agents for your Medicare needs. Navigating Medicare is a difficult task.
There are a lot of variables. You can't make a decision without knowing your medical and financial needs. Plus, working with a local Hawaii representative, you'll know what Hawaii programs are available for you.
It's free to talk with us and use a local Hawaii agent. Financial Benefits Insurance. Medicare is our business. Service sets us apart.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy here every Sunday morning with you. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for sharing our information with your friends, families, people from church, guys you golf with. And a new issue is out now. It was out a little late this month of May, featuring Dan Secchi, who's pretty well known in commercials and theater, and Alan Okubo on a cover of Generations Magazine. And by the way, I highly recommend you go down to Kumukuhua Theater down here on Merchant Street, Merchant and what's that street going up? Anyway, Bethel. It's a great little theater. It fits about 100 people. I went to see a play there. It was a cool one about 4 months ago, I think it was, when I first thought about the idea of having him on the cover. It was about Las Vegas and how this guy moved to Las Vegas and he wanted his best friend to move up there with him. So debating about whether he should move or not and talking to family. It was quite good. But they have a lot of great plays down there. And I recommend support all the theaters. I Love Manoa, Diamond Head's brand new. We probably do more things with them. But great guys. They actually had full-time jobs. They did acting after they retired or during their work days, but really fully on when they retired. In fact, Alan actually is a family relative of mine, by the way. And he was a guy. I love that commercial. He's a guy in the Spider-Man, I think, costume or something with the what do you call those things?
The
blinders,
mask
over his eyes, and he's got a lot of energy. And Dan's saying, in fact, Dan has called me, can you give me some magazines? I need to give it to all my family and friends. So, Dan, thank you for the call. Alan, hope to see you soon. And go see Sarah at the Kuhua Theater for the show. I go to their website and Google the place, and they have such really good shows. And our local acting is fantastic. So anyway, guys, it's out now. And as you guys know, my day job is a reverse mortgage. So I don't think we have a commercial yet, by the way, my new company. But anyway, I do a lot of consultations for families for free. And I actually, most of my time is spent just dealing with family issues. And you know, I specialize in long-term care planning. But that's how I got involved with the magazine and everything. But scams has always been a problem, mm-hmm. even for myself. So you should counsel banks, not to bash the banks. I worked at both Bank of Hawaii and First Hawaiian back in the day, but they got to counsel them on how to protect their seniors.
Actually, what's surprising to people is what the banks are doing. So I actually do get to talk with the banks a lot and get to do some training with them as well. So sometimes for some of your readers, if you've ever gone into a bank and you've asked for a large amount of money to be taken out, you might have had a teller ask you what you're going to do. Now, some people get really upset because it's their money, but what that teller is trying to do is to see if someone is scamming you.
Right.
So don't get upset when they ask that question. They're trying their best to get some information because they want to help prevent this mm-hmm. from happening. So you do see they're trying everything, but of course, we know these con artists. This is what they do day in and day
out
for a living. They're professionals. So they're constantly going after that. So the banks do try to give out information, do try to let people know. You can also check their profiles on our website because a lot of times they'll let us know and we'll put a warning out too when the banks warn us about it so that if they check their profile with us, they can see that this fraud is happening. But the big one is that those tellers, they are that front line.
So they really are.
Be nice to them when they ask. They're not trying to be nosy or be rude. They really are just trying to protect you.
Yeah, we helped pass that law a few years back where they were required to make them do it. Also with the debit cards and then who's the Western Union, all those other kind of companies. Now they have a thing on the writing on the back of their form when you already take out money out. Because I had a family relative that scammed over $21,000 16 different times. I said, what do you mean 16? Well, she did 16 times, but it was like $100, $1,000, $500, and it's added up. And it is something that I think everybody needs to be protective of.
So how do we do that? That's probably the big question.
Well,
right?
let's first of all identify some major scams out there right now.
So the big ones we see a lot, especially for the 65 plus crowd, are the Medicare and the Social Security, because they know that that type of scam is going to trigger an emotion. And that's what they want. If we don't have emotions, we don't get scammed. But we're human and we have emotions. So they find these different tactics. And one is fear. So if they threaten your Social Security benefits or your Medicare, I mean, and that's your source of income, that puts you, instead of thinking rationally, it puts you thinking emotionally. And now you're more likely to get scammed. So what we have to remember is when it comes to money, there's no such thing as an emergency. No emergencies. And that's the one thing you need to remind yourself. They may threaten you. They may say, if you don't do this, you're going to lose all this. That is not how it works. And we have to remind ourselves in that moment. The only emergencies are 911 phone calls. So we need to be able to go, hold it. This isn't right. This is an emergency, and stop thinking with our hearts. Not always easy to do. So what's the other way to do it? For those like with the Medicare and the Social Security, call your friend, call your family member and ask them, does this sound right? But those are the two big ones we see a lot for that 65 plus crowd. But let's not ignore that grandparent scam, because now you're appealing to the heart, the real heart of it. I mean, we're more scared about our grandkids than we are about our money. Nowadays, now that we know they can clone people's voices, it might be a good idea to have a safe word of some sort, so you know what that word or thing is with your grandchild. And but don't share that with anybody. Don't let anybody else know that, because then you know if you're really talking to your grandchild. But find a way so that should it happen, who do you call? You have a plan in place to protect your grandchildren. But to also call your children to see, is this legitimate, before you send off all of that money. So we talked a little bit about those fear ones, but what about the dangling of the carrot? Because that's far more successful of a technique. And how do they do it? And I'll tell you one big one here in Hawaii is the lottery scam, the sweepstakes scam. I think it's our obsession with Vegas. I really do. But we here in Hawaii want to win, right? So it's really about understanding now, instead of we're not thinking rationally because we think we've just won something. And so now we're excited. We're spending the money in our head. And that's the other thing we've got to back away from. Again, it's not an emergency. And the big one, if you didn't enter, you can't win. That's the big one. But even if you entered, the odds of winning are so low. So don't believe everything that you see. And you mentioned it earlier, they can spoof phone numbers. So treat everything cautiously, especially if someone has contacted you unsolicited.
It's not like a good one.
Yeah. It's not like you called your doctor's office and they call you back. You know that's them because you called them. But they call you out of the blue. Anybody calling you out of the blue, be suspicious.
Well, I like your tip about taking away the emotion. I think as seniors, as you know, when you get older, we are so trusting, and we feel if somebody calls me, I have to return the call. Happens quite a bit. No, you don't. But I always tell people to verify with, like, the grandparent scam, right? You know, we had a relative get called up, and it sounded like their grandkid, and even the voice did, and they knew where they lived. I can find out where you live. Just go online, pretty much. There's a couple apps out there that you can find addresses and sometimes birth dates. But it's just something that I think we have to be just double sure. I always now, because I got scammed where I got a text from a friend of mine, and he goes, hey, can you help me? I said, well, I'm kind of busy right now. Call me in the afternoon if it's not important. He goes, okay. Afternoon, he texts me again saying, hey, can you help me buy some Apple gift cards? And I'm going, I know this guy, but I don't know him that well. So then I called him later in the afternoon. And he goes, oh, Percy, you're the fourth person today. Somebody got my number. And then it dawned on me, I should have checked, had his name on the text. When I clicked on that name, it was not his phone number. I was like, oh my God. I got an email this morning from a good friend of mine saying, oh, can you open this up? I got some information for you. And I clicked on his email, and it wasn't his email. I was like, almost every day.
All the time. And how many times a day do we get these emails and text messages? My sister texts me things, and she'll text me links, and I won't open them, even though I know it's my sister, because I don't know where she got it from, and she may not be as savvy. So I'm really bad. If you text me a link, I'm probably not going to open it, just to let everybody know that.
No, it's so important. I had a client of mine, the situation where they don't use a debit card anymore. She goes, I don't use my debit card anymore. I said, why is that? Well, because I rather deal in cash, and I don't want to get, I got scammed when I bought something online with a debit card, and somehow they got the number, and so they started buying up things. Mm-hmm. And so they talked to the bank. She canceled the card. So I only deal with cash. Fine. Well, the bank still sent them a replacement debit card. She did not activate it. Thought she'd be smart. Guess what? It continued. So I was with her when we called the bank up. I said, how does that happen? So we said, all these charges were off a debit card, they said. I said, well, we don't have a debit. My client didn't have a debit card. She got it, but she never activated it. So how can you, the bank, accept these debit charges when a debit card was not, she did not use it, and she did not even activate it? The bank said, somehow there's a way they can get it. So what good is that?
That's kind of a challenge there. So that might be actually a conversation to say, do not send me one. Please do not have it on my account.
I think that's something you better put on your to-do list when you go the next day you talk to the banks.
Well, the one thing, and here's why I don't use a debit card. I use it usually in my bank. That's about it. I don't pay for anything online with a debit card. And the reason for that is, if it is fraud, there are less protections with your debit card than there are with a credit card.
Yes.
And so a debit card, you can file and say, hey, this was fraud. And they'll go through the process, and you probably will get your money back, but the money's gone until they decide that.
Right.
Whereas a credit card will hold that charge until they've done their investigation. The only challenge with that is, if you're not good with paying off your credit card, then that could put you in a little bit of a bind. So you have to be disciplined if you're using that credit card to make sure that it is paid off.
Yeah. So my wife locks her card and unlocks it whenever she wants to use it.
That is so smart.
Yeah, but she's at Costco or Sam's Club at Times, Longs, whatever. She has to make sure she does it before she gets to the cashier. A lot of times she forgets about it and gets the cashier. Goes, I have to unlock it. And the people behind her get mad because she's taking so long. That lady's taking forever. But it is a good way. And then there's alerts on the cards, right? Not more than $50, $300, $500. Mine like $500.
Exactly. You can set it up with any of your credit cards to have that alert if anything's charged. But what also happens is, sometimes you'll get a text message from your credit card company. And granted, you got to be a little suspicious, but it says, did you just make this charge? So what I do is, I don't click on it. I actually go to online, because I do like to use the online part of it. And I'll go look. And I will figure out, okay, they are asking. It is a legitimate ask. Because I do travel for work, and I might be using it in another state, and they're double checking to make sure. So I appreciate that, but I still go back into my original account just to verify, or I call them. I one time had a bank text me about my account, and I was like, I don't know about this. So I called them and asked, and they're like, no, we didn't send you anything.
Mm.
So it's okay to call the bank, or even if you've got a branch really close, you can just go in and ask, did this really happen? Because then you know it's legitimate. But if somebody calls you and they leave you a phone number to call back, don't believe that phone number. Go to your bank statement. Look on the back of it. That will tell you the phone number to call.
That's good. But I think that's probably how I got scammed, because I did. They said, did you do this charge? And I texted back, no. Then maybe that's what it was. It's interesting. I get, because of what I do, I've been doing it for a long time, I get stuff sent to me all the time on aging. I actually got an email this morning from I have a designation called Certified Senior Advisor. I don't know if you've seen it. It's the only designation in the senior world, in the financial, mortgage, and legal side, is double accredited. There's two major accrediting agencies. This one is double accredited. It's the only one that's double accredited in our industry. But from Associated Press, I don't know if they replayed the story or not, but he said the Census Bureau from 2010 to 2020, the amount of increase of 65 plus demographic was the largest increase in that one decade in over 130 years.
Us baby boomers are getting older.
10,000 a day in the country. In Hawaii, I believe it's about 1,300 to 1,400 a month, turn 65. So that's a lot of you guys out there. I'll be there soon. I'm not quite there. I'm only 63. But it's just so rampant. And you cannot get your money back a lot of times. I mean, especially if it's a foreign country. How do you deal with that?
So I always get people ask me, and I'm glad you asked that question. People ask me, why can't they stop this? And part of it is there are some of it that does happen domestically or even locally here in Hawaii, but the majority of this is happening internationally. There are international crime rings. They're in countries we cannot touch. So you do see the FBI goes after these people, and they catch some. But as soon as you catch one, you've got 20 more opening up. So we're not going to be able to stop that. The way we're going to be able to do it is through education. And also, hopefully, different industries learning how to protect consumers. But even for these industries, that is a challenge. We talk about the banks, but all businesses face this because they have information on their customer. And so small businesses might not also think they're targets, but because they may not have as big of money as the bank does, but they have data. And that's what's most valuable is people's information because they can then steal your identity.
So many major corporations, the data is being breached. It just shows they're so good at that.
They're very good at it.
In fact, I remember a few years back, I went to my website to analytics. And analytics is basically an app, basically these website companies created to be able to track data of who comes to your website, how long they stay on your website, your bounce rate, things like that. I looked at one where is the most inquiries or hits from? And outside of Hawaii, it was LA. And after that was Russia.
Okay, that's very interesting. Yep.
It's very scary. Actually, we got hacked a while back. It was okay. We got through it, but it wasn't a major, major hack. But we just basically dumped everything. We had uploaded everything anyway. Dumped everything, cleaned out our computers, and then just brought everything back in. But
and see that. So what we do, like with businesses, and if you're a small business and this happens to you, people are scared to share because they're scared it's going to really impact their business. But at the same time, you need to help your customers. So it's really best to get that information out, let them know, because once you know your name was in a data breach, right, there are things you can do. So one of those is you can put a freeze on your credit. You can go to the 3 credit bureaus and have them freeze it so nobody can open an account in your name, which is really helpful. Or you can get, I know I was in the Equifax data breach, probably along with everybody else. So I did the credit monitoring to keep an eye. But that's another good way is always check your credit scores. You can get one free a year from each of them. And look and see if there's any new accounts that you don't recognize. Because if there are, that could be an indication someone has stolen your identity.
In fact, remind me of a story I tell once in a while about I had a client, I'm in the finance business, so this guy wanted to get a mortgage. It was a regular mortgage, not a reverse mortgage. And I said, how's your credit? He's buying a property, getting divorced, buying a property. I said, oh, he's very good. I pay for everything, but I pay everything on time. Well, 2 weeks later, he ran his credit report. It was horrible. And his ex-wife took out all these credit cards in his name and didn't want to pay it back. To get her ex-husband back, and he couldn't do anything. Only thing you do is pay it back because that's the way it was back then.
Well, and even now, a big group that's actually impacted by some of the credit card and identity theft is actually those under 18. So the credit report bureaus can start at 13. Under that, they're not allowed to have they're not supposed to have that information. So from 13 to 18, who is going to give somebody that age credit because they're not a legal adult? So what has happened to some people is they've had their stolen, usually by a family member, sometimes by a stranger, and they don't know it until they apply for college and they get turned down for their college loans.
Or the parents co-sign, and they're on hook for that too. Mm-hmm. What other popular scams are out there nowadays?
It's the big one that we've seen and has been our number one scam for the last 3 years is online purchasing. It makes sense if we stop and think about it because now we're shopping with people we don't know. And I always tell people, know who you're doing business with. We go online, the websites look amazing. And the majority of them are fake because they're really good at building websites.
Well, it's really easy, actually.
It's easy, right? So we're doing business with companies we don't know because we've been enticed by a really good rate. Oh, there's an item we really want. So again, we're getting back to that emotion, right? A lot of it you see on social media. You'll see, oh, I want the latest technology gadget. You can't find it anywhere. But here, they're selling it for 30% off. We're, again, not thinking rationally, right? So we're going to jump. The problem is, if something's hard to find, you're not going to find it discounted. That's not supply and demand. But more than likely, this is a scam. So before you buy online, you need to vet that company. And don't assume it's that company, because we see a lot of fake websites. You see it with Amazon. They are impersonated. They were, for us, the number one impersonated business out there.
Really?
Yes, because everybody buys from Amazon, right? So that's what you have to be careful. You have to make sure you're on the right site. So purchasing online, because it is easy, it's convenient, make sure you use your credit card. If it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. We know that. And be smart with who you shop with. Make sure you know them.
Or call Roseanne.
Call us at the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah.
Or go online. And if you don't find them on our website, it doesn't mean they're not legitimate, but it does mean you do need to do a lot more homework. Huh. Google the company. And if all you find is their website, that's a red flag. We all have a footprint on the internet. But I always also, in addition, I Google the name of the company and I put the word scam, review, or complaint behind it. And if there's something out there, it'll pop up.
Really? Just put the website address?
I usually put the company name or the website address. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I go to BBB first because I want to see what we have to say, because even if they're legitimate, they may not be a good business. And then I go Google everything else. So I do, I'm really paranoid and I do a lot of research.
Guys, we need to be paranoid like Roseanne.
Yes.
Lastly, a lot of seniors don't complain or don't file reports. Why is that?
Shame. One thing we've done a horrible job of as a society is we blame the victim. Now, if you're walking down the street and you get mugged, we don't blame you usually. But when it comes to financial fraud, we blame the victim. So across the board, people are hesitant to report it because they felt they did something wrong. And they didn't. They didn't do anything wrong. But especially in the 65 plus crowd, they're scared to lose their independence.
Yeah.
They don't want their family members questioning their mind and if it's all there, because they're falling victim just like an 18-year-old can. They're no different.
Yeah.
So I think we all need to take out this blaming the victim. And we need to share, because if we don't share it, our neighbors are going to be hacked. Our neighbors are going to be fraud, our family. So we need to be take the shame away from it.
Yeah, so actually my wife got scammed. Ticketmaster, well, no, not Ticketmaster, one of those, StubHub. And we went to we bought up tickets to a play, and we get there, the Blaisdell, and he scanned the card, the ticket, and he goes, eh. That doesn't sound good. You get scanning. Uh-oh. You got to go talk to the office. We go to the office saying, oh, you're like the fourth person with the same ticket. When we look at the ticket, it was another guy's name. We didn't look at it closely. It was very fine print. But StubHub was really good. They refunded us all the money plus $100. But we didn't get to go to see this play. But it's just something that I think we all need to be cognizant of, whether it's your phone, the text, emails, phone numbers. Just double check. Or go to thebbb.org.
Well, actually, no, if you want to search us out, it's bbb.org. But our email account is thebbb.org. Okay. Just to add confusion to this, but just do bbb.org for our website. And you actually can find our, if you go up there, it'll say find your local BBB. And you'll be, and don't get freaked out when it says Idaho. We're an 8-state district, so our main office is in Idaho, but we have office here. We have we cover a variety of 8 states.
Okay, phone number again, Roseanne, please.
Phone number is 808-536-6956. Again, 808-536-6956.
Thank you. And here's a tip. Libraries love Generations Magazine. And if you don't have a computer, go to any library, talk to a librarian, say, hey, Percy from Generation said, I can go on your computer. Yeah, and can you help me find, Google this thing? Because they don't know how to Google, right? Obviously. And they'll help you find it. They're very good. Librarians are fantastic here. We have some of the best libraries in the country, let alone buses and, and certified nurses aides, and girls like Roseanne Freitas here. So,
well, I'm a little biased. I think we have a lot of good people here.
We do. We really do. I was talking to a guy just off. We got to end the show, guys. Talking about, how do you like living in Hawaii? Well, I live in the mainland about 8 years. East Coast, West Coast, Midwest. There's no place better, guys. Right? So I always finish the show, Roseanne, saying, as always, aloha and live well, guys. So thanks, Roseanne. We'll see you again. Okay?
Thank you, Percy.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Aloha.
Call Financial Benefits Insurance's local Hawaii agents for your Medicare needs. Navigating Medicare is a difficult task.
There are a lot of variables. You can't make a decision without knowing your medical and financial needs. Plus, working with a local Hawaii representative, you'll know what Hawaii programs are available for you.
It's free to talk with us and use a local Hawaii agent. Financial Benefits Insurance. Medicare is our business. Service sets us apart.